Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I am Robert Scarponito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
And Colin Sparling.
Bah, humbug.
Come on, man.
I see what the energy is.
Hey, guys. To the world out there, to everyone listening to our show, Merry Christmas. We really mean it. This is such a
Happy
big
Hanukkah.
Day for... Yes, that too. This is such a big day for Terrace House fans. I mean, part two drops. Could there be a better present to enjoy the show over Christmas break? It's going to be hard not to binge it. But man, guys, I guess Christmas came early for us in a way. Because after we did that video complaining about part one, it seems like they listened. The Terrace House gods are smiling upon us with this latest episode. There's a lot of things we complained about that are happening in this episode, and we'll get to it.
Mainly the fuck bus. That's what it is.
Oh my God.
We'll get there.
I screamed when I saw it. I was like, it's there. It exists.
It's real.
Is it bad that I'm more excited about Kenny leaving?
Yikes.
I don't know. I mean, the fuck bus
like
is
I said,
pretty big.
We put those complaints out there. The universe listened, and a lot of it happened this episode, if you guys notice. It's kind of crazy. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's kind of like a good Christmas present for us. And speaking of presents, I mean, last week was wild. I mean, I'm still kind of decompressing, debriefing from that.
Wow.
It's very unexpected, but
yeah,
we're famous now, guys. I'm above this podcast now. This is when I take my leave and I make my solo album.
Solo project.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you see us on the streets now, probably don't approach us because there are going to be so many paparazzi just taking pictures around us. Yeah. Trying to, you know,
see me in the streets and you want to take pics. And I'm like, okay.
We're standoffish now.
I mean, again, you know, many thanks to Yusuke for that. And we hope you enjoyed that episode. We know the audio quality was a little not as good. But, you know, I think we made it work, and I'm pretty happy.
Excuse me, Robert. From this moment forward, we will refer to him now as friend of the show, comma, Yusuke.
Ah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Eden Kai. Kai-san.
Yes.
No, he was such a sweet guy, and he had nothing but nice things to say while he was on the show. We had nothing but nice things to say about him and his music. He's got new music coming now. He's talking about his merch, dropping that stuff. But no, he thanked us endlessly for having him on the show. And we're like, guys, dude, it's our pleasure. Of course. Like, why are you thanking us, man?
Either way, we're going to be talking a lot about him this episode because he's in this episode of Tokyo 2019 2020. Today, we are going to talk about the first episode of part two. Excitingly.
Wow.
Woo.
Episode 13, All or Nothing. Dude, this is
ultimatums.
It's a lot of all. It's not a lot of nothing.
Not a
that
lot
was
of
part
nothing.
One. We're in the all part now.
Yeah. This is
all
the
or nothing
game.
Sounds like a butt rock song.
It kind of does.
It's fine.
So we open this episode, of course, with our panel, but there's a special guest because this week Shochan, the boy prince, is off. And instead, we've replaced him with a man that's the size of two Shochans. We have the tall, towering motherfucker, Rui Hachimura from the Washington Wizards, the NBA team. Like, that was wild.
Wow. Get some. I love that they're having these professional athletes, Japanese, born or Japanese American, on the show. This is so cool. And when he came on, literally his head almost touched the ceiling.
6'8".
And when he sits down, his knees are higher than Yama's head.
I loved that. They were like, look how high his knees are.
Yeah,
it's like he had to sit down like a mile. It took him a mile for his ass to finally hit the seat.
But no,
he's actually kind of car he drives. A man of that stature, you know, like
what do you mean? What do you mean? That's not one man. That's two people standing on each other's shoulders.
Dude, he doesn't need a car. He just walks, and his stride helps him move so fast.
Dude, yeah,
he power walked to Japan. In order to do this appearance. And what was really cool is that he like legitimately was just like, I turned down a whole bunch of other shows to do this because this is what I'm a fan of and I wanted to do it.
Yeah. It's like, dude, is this a layover for you? Why do you only have time for one show? Like, can't there be more? I don't know. But it was cool. It was flattering though, right?
I do love how we called out the last athlete who was on the show, Kenta Maeda.
Yes.
The baseball boy. I love how he was like, yeah, yikes. No, Maeda-san sounded like he's been a longtime fan of the show, but I introduced him to it, actually. So wow. I'm kind of the bigger fan of the show.
Yeah, he's like, wow.
Kenta-san, you're full of shit.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Because that does, like, honestly, that is a pet peeve of mine when someone's like, oh my gosh, I've loved this show for years. I'm like the OG fan. And it's like, didn't I tell you about that like last week? But whatever.
I had a friend growing up who I would be like, yo, dude, you should check out this sick band that I found. And he would be like, very like, whatever, like, yeah, it's fine, I guess. And you like, and then like a year or two later, he'd be like, dude, have you heard of this band? Like, they're sick as shit. And I'd be like, I'm the one who showed them to you, you fucking asshole.
When Kenta went on the show and was like, yeah, you know, I've been a fan since the beginning. It's like, you get the sense that he didn't anticipate Rui being on the show later.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's hard to predict,
right? He's like, I'm calling you out.
What I will say is I really like Rui's energy in this episode because, you know, what you often find, we've noticed this with the boy princes from previous seasons, right? Because, you know, it's always a rotating couch, is it always takes a long time for them to kind of feel comfortable enough to work with the rest of the panelists, you know, have a good conversation with them and keep it going. With Rui, though, I don't know if it's maybe his American, like he's been spending a lot of time in America and that's kind of rubbing off on him, or maybe he's just like generally good with people. But I didn't get this like, oh, he's awkward because he's the new kid on the block right now. It's more that, you know, he kind of feels like he's been there the whole time, this whole season, you know?
He was very comfortable. I mean, he had a lot to say.
And dare I say that I would love to see him back for more than one episode.
Yeah, you'd love to see him dribble his way back in and make a 3-point on the Terrace House court.
There was a lot of basketball metaphors happening in this episode.
I want to see him dunk on people.
Same.
That's what I want.
I think Tokui made at least 2 or 3 basketball references.
He did. But no, I mean, it was cool to have his energy there. I liked it a lot. And he brought out a lot of new information. He straight up asks Tori, like, hey, why is it that you like Ruka so much? And her answer is
thank
just,
you for asking.
And it's just like, it's a visceral reaction. It's a visceral liking. I can't not like him. He's stupid and he looks good.
She wants to sun him.
He's a himbo.
Oh my gosh. I love that trend.
I've never heard that before.
Yes.
What? I don't know what that is.
Himbo.
You'll learn.
Male bimbo.
I might want to keep it that way.
And Rui, I think he points out something like, I think this was actually kind of profound in that he thinks that Risako isn't liking Kenny as much because Kenny, I mean, obviously he's taking too long to do anything, but also it's like he's afraid to take a risk with her. You know, he has to know 100% that she's into him before he makes a move. And he thinks that's what's making her not interested in him anymore. And I thought that was like a really interesting analysis. That's something you don't
pretty
think
insightful.
About
often. Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty insightful. And we are going to talk about them a lot this episode.
Ooh, yeah,
for sure.
This is the Risa Kenny episode. Well, I feel like last week was a Risa Kenny episode too, or I guess episode 12.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my, I guess not really a complaint about this episode, but it was like, it was the exact same debacle as the last episode was, except a couple different things happened, but the overarching conversation was the same.
Yeah, I get that. It also had a little bit of like a middle school kind of feel to it. This is like middle school drama almost. But
it was, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, it's just like, it's messy, but also real life is messy. If real life were perfect, then it'd be boring.
Yeah, I think I didn't hate this episode quite as much as the last one. Because this one, I think it's the Risako and Kenny thing starts to feel a little bit more real to me. The last episode felt really shoehorned. I felt like it felt forced. It was like, where did this come from? You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't feeling it at all. This episode, it starts to feel like, okay, I'm starting to believe this a little bit. There's some scenes where I'm like, wow, these are real humans dealing with this shit. And this is like some of the moments that we get in this episode. I'm like, wow, this is why I watch Terrace House. You're getting unabashed human emotion. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think of that scene between Shohei and Risako where they're talking in the kitchen. It's probably my favorite scene of this whole episode.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get there, I'm sure.
I mean, where the cliffhanger left off was they were in the playroom Kenny's barefoot there, 5 feet away again, telling her how he feels. Oh, this is the moment now. She's going to go for it. We're going to live in splendor and bliss for the rest of our lives. Not so fast, dude. She basically is like, long sigh, puts her hand on her forehead, is looking off into oblivion like, oh, fuck. And when he says, I like you, guys, she takes, I rewound it and I counted, she takes 7 seconds of silence to reply. And I just want to exercise that. Daily, say you like somebody. Say I like
you. Yo, I like y'all collectively.
Okay. 7 seconds. That's how long it was. It felt like it might as well have been an eternity.
And it's not even like, oh, I'm processing. It's like a, how do I let you down?
You know,
it's very negative.
I love how to illustrate your point, Jack. You decided to murder our podcast with 7 silent dead seconds.
Of dead air. That's how brutal it was. We have to recreate it, guys. We have to live in this Terrace House awkwardness.
You understand all we have is sound, right? Like, silence is literally the killer of this show.
It's brutal. Hey, guys, yeah, I live here in this hell with me. That was what Kenny was feeling when he put himself out there. I'm just saying, it's like,
it was,
oh God,
7
it was
hours
awkward
for Kenny.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that happened, but the respawn noise from Halo played in my head. That doot, 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 doot.
So let's get into the episode. Let's pick up from that cliffhanger, right? So we're back in the playroom. Risako is nursing her forehead. She maybe has a headache, I guess, from all this shit. But she lets him down. And I think her speech is kind of nice in that she says, you know, I've noticed this house has helped me see that I'm a little bit immature, but at the same time, Kenny, you've helped me see my strengths. Mm. But also, I need to know more about you before I can give you an answer. So it's kind of like
that's fair.
Let's get to know each other more.
I think we all need to know more about Kenny.
Yeah. She also said that I never thought I'd get in a fight at this age too, and that's like kind of a fair assumption too. And so it happened, but she said she feels like she has a lot more growing up to do and she's a little more mature. And like, yeah, like everything we complained about Kenny, though, to his credit, a lot of it gets addressed and resolved in all highly concentrated in this one episode. It's almost like the editors of Terrace House were like, oh shit, we fucked this man for the last 12 weeks.
Oh, no.
We need to make good. This was almost like the Kenny make good edit.
Yeah.
Kind of was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is the most screen time I think Kenny's ever had in an episode, honestly.
He's very proactive, very open.
The Kenny special. My thing here with Risako, though, and maybe this is an illustration, again, of why she's so immature, right? Or that she is immature, is that she says, I would need to get to know you more. But this is also the same girl who, lest I remind you, like 9 weeks ago, said to Ruka, be my boyfriend, just because they were playing a card game.
Yeah. Ooh, I mean, to be fair, they were drunk, or she was, but
also, I guess, to be fair, it's like Ruka, there's like not a lot to know about Ruka. I feel like
she knows
the boy
everything about him now.
Wears everything on his, you know, very baggy, stylish sleeves. So yeah, it's kind of like it's easier to get to know him, and they kind of like were on that, you know, level, whereas like I don't know, like, what moments she and Kenny have shared that haven't been, like, inherently tinged by a will-they-won't-they kind of situation, which can make it hard to get down to, like, oh, let's just talk about each other. Let's just get to know each other.
Yeah. But either way, we start off the episode with a pretty somber mood for Kenny, and we go right into the shitro. And then from there, we go to the kitchen. And this, I think, might be the only screen time Ruka gets. So let's cherish it for as much as we can.
No, he has some poignant moments later. We'll get there, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot. But in the kitchen, he is with Cowdy and Risako. And, you know, Risako kind of immediately leaves to give Ruka and Cowdy some alone time. And Ruka tells this really weird story about how he was walking around and saw an Avengers poster or an A-frame or something and followed it to a Western comics themed bar, which, one, that's cool. I'd go to it.
Sure.
Two,
yeah, same.
He wants to work at that because he thinks it'll help him get in Marvel movies.
No,
I didn't read that as him saying like, oh, this will help with my career, which is what I think. You know, Kaori instantly translated that to in her head. I think it was more like, oh, that fits with my interests. I could do that. But she is right to be, you know, she launches into, you know, since you don't have to worry about money right now, shouldn't you be thinking about, you know, doing something that will help with your career down the line, like, you know, acting or anything realistic?
Good advice. It kind of bounced off, right?
Yeah.
It kind of, yeah. He's like, well, I actually would really like to talk about Marvel movies with people that go there, which, fair enough. Like, that's a cool job, you know, to have if you're in school or if you got other things going on, you know, but it's not going to get him any closer to his goals, if those really are, in fact, his goals.
Which we, yeah. I still don't know. Like, is that what he really wants to do, or is that what he thinks he wants to do?
Well, he wants to be cool, Spider-Man.
Though. It's cool, guys. It's cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I find really unfortunate about this for him. I think he's just too young and naive to see it. But, you know, he says this thing about how he doesn't want to work at a bar, but he'd be okay with it if it's like a Marvel or a Western comics themed bar. Newsflash, though, it's still a bar. You're going to be doing bartender things and bar back things still. Like, you're going to be surrounded by a thing you like, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be making drinks for people and trying to get tips and all that.
And the thing that stood out to me here really was every time Kaori would laugh. Like, here in the Western world, right, in America, when somebody laughs, it's kind of like, it doesn't necessarily mean they disapprove and they're uncomfortable and it's awkward. Whereas what I understand in Japanese culture, a laugh is not necessarily a good positive thing, right? But she kept doing that over and over again when he kept talking about how he really wants to persist and do that. So I was just curious, like, that had to have been awkward for her, right? But she, let alone she still does that kind of awkward Japanese laughing. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
I mean, a bit. It's kind of weird. I wouldn't say, like, the laugh is the sign. I think it's more like, is this uncomfortable and her tick is laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, cause I mean, she was definitely grilling him in this scene to a degree.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She was definitely, she lost a lot of respect for him, I think, for some of the answers that he gave.
Kaori's so nice. This is her version of grilling somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, tell me about that.
Yeah. Mm. She does go for the throat though. She does say, hey, Ruka, I also find it hard to talk to you. You're, like, really quiet.
Yeah. Oh, it's exactly what I'm talking about. She just doesn't pull any punches. She's like, yeah, you're just hard to talk to. And it's just like, I don't know if I want to do the one-on-one thing with you. Because, like, you just let silence hang there, which is fine when you're in a, like, or Ruka says that, like, yeah, it's not a big deal when I'm in a group of people, but it's one-on-one. It's just, like, I don't know. I tend to veer off into my thoughts.
So keep in mind, this is all also at the, if we rewind back to a few episodes ago or last episode, this is all kind of at the behest of Risako, right? She talked to her in a room, said, hey, you can't always just be going on these dates with him and having it be going well. It's kind of leading them on. So I kind of feel like this is Kaori's response to that talk, right?
Yeah.
Mm, good call. Yeah, because, yeah, you know, it's fair. Like, it's like, why would I, you know, continually go on, like, one-on-one dates out with you when it's like we just kind of talk
But like I'm this. Okay with the silence. I'm fine with it.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Because that's the thing. Dude. Dates are meant to get to know people. You can't know people if they're silent. You know, the most you learn about them is that they're quiet.
He's sitting there conversating with his taste buds, man. Like, have a talk with Kaori. She's right in front of you.
The talk he has is about Spider-Man and how quality the rice was. It was like, dang, look at this glisten. And she's just, man, like, yeah, look at it glisten, so, Spider-Man.
What's your favorite Marvel movie?
Yeah. I mean,
what if she doesn't like Marvel at all?
I don't know. I don't know. She has she really taken a stance?
Against
she doesn't want to crush his dreams. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know she has.
No, I think she's just too nice to really have a strong opinion one way or another. But, I mean, over the last several episodes, it's just been her trying to, like, gently and maybe not so gently, like, goad him into the right direction. He just is resisting at every opportunity here to take any, to, you know, kind of absorb any of the information that she's sharing with him. And now this kind of confirms that, oh, I'm gonna go work at this bar now. Did he listen to anything that she said there in the living room with everybody? Remember that talk where he started crying, basically? Like, where was that? Where's all that shit?
Yeah. And it's funny because we were talking about, like, oh, you know, he could go one of two directions, and he's kind of leaning more towards the Udai direction right now. Like, he's being stubborn and kind of bullheaded, and he's just going to do what he wants to do. But I don't even, he's not even sure of what he wants to do. That's the thing.
Yeah.
He's not sure.
He definitely earned points with, like, cooking, and he actually, aside from the epic pasta carbonara failure, he figured out something along the way, even if he was just helping with that. He seems to be trying to get together at least, like, his personal life, like, his place in the house, like, maybe not sleeping in and sleeping late and etc., but he still isn't figuring out, like, that bigger picture that, you know, at his age, he really should have some idea of.
I think, and here, I actually have a hot spoiler for you guys. It's a prediction, but I'm joking. It's a spoiler. I don't think he's going to get the job at the Marvel bar, and you know why? Because that's Disney money.
Why?
To put,
oh, shit.
If they're going to put that shit on Netflix, that's Disney money now. And I don't know if Terrence
It's just
has
all
that.
Censored, like, he's just in this big blur of a bar.
Yeah, just after this episode, every time he's like, guys, I got the job. Oh, where'd you get it? At Redacted Bar.
Yeah, you heard it here first, guys. Terrace House is migrating to Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. Part 3 is dropping on Disney Plus internationally.
Thing is, I wouldn't be surprised at this
point.
Thanks,
Ruka.
Yeah, all goes over Ruka. No, I mean, I do hope the best for him, but I'm thinking, let's see where his journey takes him from here, right? The next scene starts in Yoyogi in Tokyo, where Risako and Kenny are together on the summer festival date thing, and you know what they took to get there? The fuck bus.
Oh my
the
god! It's here.
The bus is making a cameo.
What's all the fuss about?
So he was standing in front of it, and it didn't even register to me the first time I watched this episode. Like, it was like, I was just like, oh, clearly that's just a bus that's parked there. He's waiting for her. They're going to go somewhere. And then when they got in it, I was like, I audibly gasped. I was like, here it is, the answer to our prayers. We've been bitching about this for 12 episodes, and it's finally here. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's so funny. I think in our interview with Yusuke, too, we did bring up that, like, yeah, Kenny-san, like, never brings up the bus. It just, like, it happens in his interview before the show starts, and then I think he shows Haruka a picture on Instagram, but that's the only time we see it, and then he just kind of nervously laughed. Yusuke, you knew. You knew, Yusuke.
He knew.
Yeah, he, I know, right? Yeah, he didn't want a girl to fall in love with him for the bus. Like music.
Yeah, Kenny wants the girl to fall in love with Kenny, not Kenny from Spicy Soul, not Kenny from the fuck bus, but Kenny the man.
All
the man.
I will say, when they were driving that bus, when Kenny was up front driving and Risako was in the back, it was so awkward. And just so, like, that bus, the table looked like it was about to collapse over from the vibration of the road, and Risako looked like she's going to fall out of that seat at any given time.
It seemed weirdly unsafe, right? Like, you shouldn't have said that fast while she's eating there, seeing the, like, the freeway going off in the background. I was like, oh, gosh, is this safe? But I think that it was well conceived because he had snacks, he had food ready for her because he knew there wasn't a passenger seat. So it would be awkward if she was just sitting there. Like, it would feel like she's literally going to school or something like that. But he, you know, he anticipated she'd be hungry, gave her something to do, made it so it's a little less awkward because they're not sitting close to each other. I thought that was good. Other than the weather, right? The Terrace House gods were not shining on this day.
Now, let me make it awkward again for you. Keep in mind, in the fuck bus, when they had to drive it, not only was Kenny staring at the road, not facing Risako, and she was sitting at a very wobbly table, there was also at least one camera person in the bus having to film both of them doing this.
Yeah.
Holding on for his life. Like,
dear life. Yes.
No. Wait, it's not a GoPro? You don't think it was a static cam?
I mean, no, maybe.
No.
It would have been vibrating.
But they got cameras in there. Yeah.
No, yeah, it was totally a person.
There was probably a guy.
And they were doing, they did a great job.
They probably had a gimbal. They probably had a gimbal, you know, like an auto. Stabilizing mount.
Stabilizing.
But man,
kudos to you, cameraman.
Yeah, the scene was shot well, and like overall, other than like we said, the weather, it was like a really good date. I think like going out in a bus, hanging out by the beach, that's a good combination. And I like that he like had the food ready because it was like clearly they both passed like the same festival, and he just like picked up what looked like there was like some fries, there was like maybe like a katsu, and it's like, oh, cool, like here's a snack on the way. And I gotta give him credit too. This is his second point of credit. I don't think he's gonna get a third one. Sorry, Kenny. But the fuck bus is very clean. It's very tidy. It looks totally untouched from when we saw the interview.
Jesus is in that bus.
Jesus.
He's watching over.
Keep it clean.
He's ready to take the wheel.
That blanket.
Cleanliness. Right next to
that's why he had to keep 6 inches for Jesus.
I mean, he had to feel a little bummed though, right? Because they cut to, it's really funny cut, they cut to the beach where they're about to go supping, stand up paddle boarding, right? And like there's a group of three women walking right in front of the camera, they're like screaming in like discomfort because the wind is just blasting like them. They're like, ah! It's like a typhoon going on. So I was like, oh, this can't be good. I'm glad he didn't try and force the issue because he was like, ah, we can do this. Maybe not.
Yeah, he's like, you know, some
the flag that said caution.
yeah, caution. And it was like, yeah, we usually do go out in this weather, but probably not a great idea.
Yeah. But this scene does end a little bit in sadness, right? Because Kenny reveals that he's leaving soon. He's apparently known since the beginning when he was about to leave because he's about to go on tour. It's going to be a big deal. He's not going to be in the house a lot. So he has to leave, right? And when he reveals this information, this sudden, all of a sudden, tightened up timeline, Risa goes like, I thought we'd have more time, but if I'm going to be, if I have to make the decision now, no. Reject.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here with this, okay? So this man came into the house with the thought like, okay, I'm going to leave at this date and time, around this time, because I'm going to be on tour, and I'm not going to be in the house anyways. Where was the sense of urgency? This entire time, it all just happens here at the end.
I don't know. It doesn't help the whole case of like this whole relationship between the two of them feels really shoehorned. And Kenny was just making a move because he kind of likes Risako and he's trying to get his numbers up for the show. At least that's my theory.
He came across, you know, so the thing about it is he came across less shilly here for his own brand and more sincere to me. And especially when he said later, I cannot lie on stage. Those are my real feelings. Like, I kind of feel that from him, you know? So, yes, he has been chilly in the past, but, like, I was getting more Kenny this episode. Again, the Kenny Make Good edit of Terrace House this week. But it's just like, okay, one thing I really want to bring up here is that there's a theme throughout this entire episode is why does this have to be such a heavy, huge life decision? Why don't they just decide to date each other casually? Even while he's on tour, they can still Instagram, there's still phones, they can be in touch, they can maybe schedule a time for her to come out and visit. Why does it have to be like, okay, are you with me? And then she's thinking, well, you're 32, so you want to get married. So basically this is a question like, will you marry me? Like, why are the stakes so high here? You know, like, why does she have to, and why is there a timeline? Why is there, like, the ultimatums, like I mentioned earlier, why is he throwing down ultimatums? Like, tell me by this date or it's fucking over.
It's all or nothing.
Life doesn't work like that. Yeah. Why does life all need to be like that?
Yeah. I'm with you, Jack. I don't see why it needs to be either. I don't know. So like, especially too, when later on, when like we get the show with her and everything, and he's like, you know, I wrote this song. And then afterwards I realized who it was about. And I was like, dude, it just sounds like a very vague and general love song that now you're just because of the situation, you're dedicating it to Risako. And
You're talking about the concert later?
Yeah. And it's just, it feels really, really, again, shoehorned. I know I keep using that word. I don't know. And you're right, Jack. I feel like the stakes are way too high. They're taking it far too seriously, especially for a relationship that seems relatively fresh. Like they weren't, it didn't even really occur to me that they would be dating each other until like last episode.
I'm still working on them having chemistry together because I'm still not even convinced it exists yet. You know?
Yes, I'm with you 100%. I like this is just like they're thrusting me into a relationship between two characters that like it doesn't even what do they do besides like talk about stuff, life stuff every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I have a hot I have a hot theory about those two, Kenny and Risako.
So hot.
Hot that we'll reveal as we go through the episode because we need to lay the clues. But let's cut to the next scene here, right? We're in the boys' room. It's Kenny there, and he's looking sad. He's channeling some real Uchi post-meat incident vibes for me. And then
face down.
Ass up.
Yeah.
Ass kind of up. And then Shohei walks in.
A little bit more eloquent.
And then Ruka walks in. And Kenny, he now reveals to them, hey, I'm leaving the house soon. And also, I just got dumped. And he's tearing up a little.
Dude.
And the part that gets me here is this feels like Ami and Tsubasa all over again. In that Ruka is like shook to his core. You know, like, yeah. Man, you know, you'd always ask me how my day is going and I always relied on you. And he's tearing up. You know, you get this vibe that he really did rely, like, see Kenny as like an older brother figure, you know, like
he's crying.
My best friend in the house. Yeah. And I feel like that's not earned because I didn't get that vibe in the last 12 episodes.
Nope.
Yeah, nope. I'm in the same boat. Like, where did this come from?
It was crazy also, for me. Yeah. It was jilting to see Kenny cry, actually. I was like, oh, he can feel that way? He does feel that way? Where was this again? It's all coming up in episode 13. Holy shit.
Because we're going to get all this info right before he leaves.
Even the moments that, like, in the playroom when he was talking to Risako and in the fuck bus, like, he didn't seem, like, very affected. He was just like, oh. Okay, I see how you feel. Whereas, like, she was wiping away the tears, etc. Mm-hmm. But now we finally see, like, that was the first time I was like, wow, he really is actually pretty invested in this and isn't just, like, trying to be cool Kenny, you know?
Yeah, and that's one thing I wanted to bring up, too, real quick, is when she did say, I'm not that strongly, if I have to decide now, I'm not that strongly attracted to you, or in so many words she said that, he was like, okay. And then the big swallow to the... It was like seeing you. I was like, "Oh gosh,
thanks
for that.
Was
rough."
Can you one more time? Like, can you just get some juices going?
Can we get a
I'm
clean
not going to put that on the internet. No,
no juices.
Gulp.
There it is. Juice. But yeah, I don't know. It just felt weird, and I think Shohei here. I kind of got the vibe that maybe supports Colin's ongoing theory about how Shohei knows Kenny's doing all this as an act. Because Shohei didn't seem like he cared much about this whole scene. He was just kind of there, like, I'm just going to eat my food.
That's,
they supposed to be, like, the best of friends in the house?
The
like,
bros.
The two closest people? They're always, like, lying on the couch together, jamming out, etc. And he was just like, oh, man, that's crazy. Oh, wow.
He tries to act it up, ham it up. He, like, leans back and he's just like,
I don't know, guys. I had a different take from this. Like, I really felt like I was, maybe I'm just, like, thirsty for some male bonding on the show. But, like, to me, it seemed the truest that I've ever seen the three of them together. And to me, it was really sad. And I was definitely, like, getting emotional about it. And I was like, wow. It was just, again, too little too late with Kenny. Like, where was this whole time? I mean, when Ruka was like, saying you would, you know what he said. I don't want to repeat it because I don't want to cry on this podcast. But it was really, like, touching, man. It was rough to watch for me.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just it just doesn't, since we didn't have that sort of journey to get to this point, it just doesn't feel earned. Like, it just feels like we were. It makes me feel like I was just missing out on something. That's
right.
What
I agree with
like.
That. Yeah, I agree. It's a sloppy editing again that rears its ugly head is way too often.
Yeah, so, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt here.
Right. So the next scene here, we cut to the panel, and they're all very confused about Risako. And I think I have to agree, because this might come from her immaturity, right? But there are times where she feels very all in about someone. And then now to not be all in with Kenny is kind of, you know, like, what side of the coin do you land on? And I understand that feelings are amorphous, like, the whole big part of the human struggle is to understand your own feelings. And sometimes we never do, but I don't know. It just feels, she feels a little wishy-washy, and I kind of agree with what the panelists are saying here, but I was curious what your guys' take was.
So she brought this up day one. If you go back episode one, she said that sometimes she's basically hot or cold. She's like, either she's way too into it or she's too standoffish. And she brought that up when she kind of had that real quick mini soliloquy on the couch right when she walked in the house. So this is kind of ringing true there. She was probably being incredibly honest at that point, and we're seeing it happen now and play out.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it feels a lot like, I feel like almost she keeps going back and watching, like, Kenny's, like, entrance interview and, like, reminding herself that, like, He's, you know, 10 years older than me, nearly. I think he is.
He's
exactly,
11, yeah.
Right?
She's, yeah.
11 years. Okay, 11 years older than me. He's at a mm-hmm. totally different stage of his life. He, you know, wants to have a family. He, like, stressed, like, I'm getting that right, right? Like, he yes. really stressed,
he
like,
did.
Family. And, like, wanting to do the parent thing, etc. And, like, maybe that just is, like, panicking her. Because she has said, like, I'm really drawn to you. But... you know, they haven't had those conversations about, like, where they expect this relationship to go.
Right. And I, to your point, Daly, I, there is a point in the episode where Risako does say, and I can't remember at what point, it might have been when she was talking to Shohei, but she straight up said that, like, I am in absolutely no shape or at any point in my life right now where I want to get married and, like, start a family and stuff like that.
And why
I'm just
does
not
it
at
have
that
to-
point in my life.
Why does it have to be that, though? Like, what is wrong? Like, I just don't understand. Is it a cultural thing? Like, what is wrong with just casually dating? In Japan culture, especially in Tokyo, you know, Japanese hookup culture is a thing. Look that up. But it's like romance and love have to happen in kind of secret, right? But when you're on Terrace, for whatever reason, I don't understand it. Please someone elucidate in the comments. But in Terrace House, you were in the most public of forums, right? It's this very big show in Japan. It's very big internationally, too. And so it's like, why do they have to make it such a high bar? And I keep asking that question. I'm not really expecting a real answer here, but it's just like, that's the whole impetus of this whole episode. Is like, okay, am I going to be in a relationship with him and then get married to him or no? Like, of course it's going to be no if that's what the options are.
If I had to guess, I think it partially has to do with kind of upholding a moral standard. You know, like you said, it's a very public show. And because of that, we can't just portray these people as hooking up left and right, because if they did, that's totally what we would see out of Kenny and Risako, because I'm willing to bet that's what they've been doing this whole time. But
I
on
mean,
camera,
it seems, yeah, it seems weird. Like, I was thinking that too. It's like, I wonder what we don't know about how close they are.
Yeah,
because
yeah, we're definitely we're missing some details here.
Yeah,
we're missing some details here. And I think though why she thinks that is because I don't know if they've discussed it off camera or what, but based on Kenny's age and the age difference here, right? I mean, Kenny is 32 and he's getting to that age where, yeah, he probably wants to start thinking about settling down and having a family and stuff like that. So what she's afraid of is that, like, this is going to be one of those relationships where it's going to burn really bright at the beginning. And in Kenny's head, he's just going to be like, you know, he's already dead set on the idea of maybe this ends in marriage. At least that's Risako's thought. In this situation, because that's a big age difference, and you know, people getting into their 30s, it you know, usually that it's getting to the point where they want to start thinking about winding down.
Well, generally, but
generally,
not
generally,
absolutely.
Generally
yeah, unless
speaking.
You're Tokui.
But I think
I'm
more than anything, she
and
should
alone.
Just
yeah,
right. And I think it sounds like this might just be a conversation she needs to have with him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. That's I think what it all comes down to is I think she's afraid to bring up the subject because she just assumes either that or she has brought it up and we haven't seen it on camera, right?
Right.
But yeah. That's basically moving yeah, target. Like you said, that's all she says here in the next scene to Shohei, because you know it's just Shohei in the kitchen. I want to point out again, he's wearing that not safe for work shirt. He's wearing that shirt of a girl in a monokini fingering herself.
God.
I don't,
dude. He only has like, three shirts. Give him a break.
He really does. And you know,
he probably got it on set of one of his movies.
His
so,
pink
I mean,
film.
Oh man,
it's
yeah.
his fault.
It's
the man's
the,
poor.
It's the promotional material.
Yeah. I don't know, I just find it funny that like that shirt is it haunts my dreams now.
It does.
But yeah, Risako walks in and she basically says everything that we've been talking about here. How she's at odds. She likes Kenny. Doesn't want marriage, knows he wants marriage, doesn't know what to do. And Shohei gives pretty apt advice. Just talk to him. Just, you know.
Put your spoons up, everybody. That was iconic.
Yeah, putting
oh my
your
God.
Spoons up. The chopstick,
Shohei's like, your face is so oh, puffy,
yeah.
like rude.
Yeah, because she's been crying so much. Yeah.
Right,
I think
right.
that's why.
It's yeah. like chopstick. Yeah. It's like the chopstick cry. Sequel.
Chopstick cry. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Cry. This is the spoon cry.
Before spoon the spoon cry. Cry, before, like, you could really, like, see it. Her face was really puffy. I didn't realize, like, that she was this upset over it. Like, we're finally seeing, like, how people really feel about each other. And I was surprised to see, like, that she'd been, like, crying all morning over, like, do I go out with Kenny? Do I not go out with Kenny? Am I hurting Kenny?
Yeah.
Like, to the point that she needs the spoons.
Yeah.
Like, she makes a heavy decision. She makes this point while she's, like, in the fridge. Because, like, Shohei is basically saying, like, if you two like each other, just, like, talk about it, you know? Like, figure it out. And she makes this point that she kind of tries to be older than she is, I think, about how just liking someone isn't enough to date them. And, like, that's true. But you also haven't really talked to him about many of the external factors. So far, it only seems like the only hurdle to dating him is you want to know more about him. And that's a pretty easy problem to solve.
That's how you get to know people more, is you go on dates with them.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. How about you guys just continue doing that?
Good God. Like, dating doesn't necessarily mean a relationship, people.
That's the whole point here. It's just weird. That's why I think there's things going on in the background.
Exactly.
Because it just seems awkwardly heavy for what we know. Mm-hmm. Right.
So the next scene is a real treat. For me, it gave me like a weird existential crisis, but we're in Daikanyama. We're in Parataco.
Parataco!
With Haruka and a dude I've talked to before, Yusuke.
Friend of the show.
I know him.
Yusuke, friend of the show.
Yeah, hello. That was really weird to watch in a post I've talked with Yusuke world.
So I was like, look at that boy. That's a boy.
It is a boy. And my wife was in the room next to me when that scene came on. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I feel so much more pressure now for him to succeed. Because I'm talking to him now. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, he's got to do well now. I'm rooting for you, man.
We are rooting for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yusuke.
Overall, though, the scene...
I don't think we had to root for him. Yeah.
Yeah. The scene went pretty well. Haruka, you know, she kind of opens up and says, I've been trying to communicate more. I think this is coming off of that last conversation she had with Shohei, the sage of the house, where he's like, you know, if you want to have friends, you should maybe show interest in them and talk to them. So that's what Haruka does. She's trying to do that. But she also says she finds it easier with Yusuke. It's kind of sweet.
Guys.
Yeah.
It's sweet until she starts rambling about how he's like a sea creature and the conversation doesn't end.
I want to hear Daily's going first and then I'll go second.
Okay. I mean, overall, date was good. She was just like heaping on, it felt like the reasons why, like, oh, I like someone like you. I like, you know, people I can just be comfortable with. And I, you know, just said like, wow, I can really open up and be comfortable with you. Let me reiterate that I'm very comfortable with you. And I like people that I'm comfortable with. And it was like really good.
You're like a sea creature.
And I'm going to argue that the sea creature argument is very much like, yes, good. This is the go ahead to them possibly dating. Her being like, okay, seals are super cute.
Otters.
I have strong feelings about seals and other sea creatures.
And otter sea creatures.
And I think otters are sea creatures. I feel like it was ultimately a compliment that he should take it as such. Because he even asked, like, do I take this as a compliment? And it's like, yeah.
He was so taken aback.
Cuddly and cute. But then, you know, she went for the more traditional compliment later when, you know, he was like, oh, no, I would never have you pay for, you know, dinner. And she's like, oh, how manly of you. And it's like all green lights, all good stuff, except for the mean editing that somehow found a picture of a cherry and just interspersed that in there, like almost subliminally.
That was funny to me. That was pretty funny.
Okay, it was funny. Didn't even notice it until the panel said something like that.
I think Yusuke would be the first to laugh at that, honestly.
He would.
I think he would laugh at that.
My question is, what the fuck kind of taco place has cherries? Who's putting cherries in their tacos?
Don't ask these questions. That is a weird thing to add to a taco, but watch it be a thing now. Okay, so Dahlia, is that completed your point? Okay, so my take on this was I'm definitely rooting for the man in all things, in all challenges in life. But I kind of hated Haruka after this scene.
Mm.
For a lot of reasons.
Hate.
Kind of hated her. It's not exactly hate.
Strong word.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the reason being is because this is not their first conversation. She knows a little bit about him. She knows he's a virgin. She knows he's very inexperienced. She knows that he likes her. And she's been thirsty AF this entire season for some male attention. And she even vocalized when she's not getting male attention, it's not
good, and she likes hanging around older guys because she's always what? The center of attention. And so, okay, nothing necessarily expressly wrong with that, but I just feel like she's using him for attention here. And she also gave him the test that, again, has played out earlier in the season where it's like, is he going to pay for me? Is he not going to? Like, she offered to pay knowing damn well she didn't want to, or if she did pay, it would have been points against him, right? So I just don't like those kind of weird social tests out there. She was testing the waters there. And then he bit because he really likes her. And he's like, not only he's like, no, don't worry, I'll get it. He's like, you'll never have to pay for anything ever again. It's just like, it's
in
just
that
like
voice.
Brutal.
He did that, yes.
I know, right? But it's just like, don't worry about it. But and then to me, she's like, like you said, driving the nail down, like, you are what I like. I like this. I don't fuck passion. I don't want passion. You're not passionate. I don't feel passionate about you. You're perfect for me. I want a nap with somebody, you know, and just like boom, boom, boom.
I liked that.
Beating him over the,
I want a nap with
she's
someone.
She's clubbing him over the head like that, like a seal. Sorry, but.
Whoa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Oh my god.
It was the first image I thought of. I apologize immediately. I'm sorry.
I know what the thumbnail is going to be now.
No. PETA will come after us. I'm sorry. I apologize. I love animals. Okay. I love my cat. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. But anyways, it's just, and then we can kind of go to the next scene here soon thereafter where she starts talking to Cowrie. So like behind closed doors, she's like, well, I don't know if anything's going to happen. But XYZ, where when they left at Parataco, it was definitely like, hey, continue dating me. Let's do this. Let's go. Green light, green light, green light, green light, green light. And in her heart of hearts, she knows the truth. And so that's why I kind of slash hate her a little bit right now.
So you're saying she's leading him on.
Well,
that's what you're saying. The truth
is. Yes. And it's so apparent. And I don't think I want to give him more credit. I'm not sure if he sees it yet, you know, but I hope he does. But this is not going to end well based on how this first thing went. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think so. I'm not trying to put too many projections out there, but I mean, I just don't trust her.
Yeah. Well, what I will say is like I don't really feel good about it, at least not yet. It definitely feels like leaning on, or at least Yusuke isn't really picking up on like completely on like what's happening. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit more to it than what Yusuke is really understanding out of the situation. Mm. But to him, he's like, green light, green light, green light, like you were saying. But now we're seeing that, like, I don't know, man. It doesn't feel like this is going to happen necessarily. I feel like, it feels like Yusuke is going to end up with his heart broken.
She's the kind of girl. Yeah, she's the. Yeah, sorry. She's the kind of girl that I would say, like, okay, like, let's remove the show from this equation, okay? Let's just say Yusuke comes over, because we're friends now. He comes over and he's, like, telling me about this great date they went on, okay? And she's like, yeah, she said I was like a seal. She loves sea creatures. She said she's not passionate about me, but she doesn't want that. She wants someone that she can nap with, da-da-da-da. Let's just, like, look at it objectively like that. Like, I would be like, bro, you need to watch out. That was some weird shit she just said. Watch out for that one. I don't know anything about her, but everything she said... Red flag, yellow flag at least.
If I may interject here, and I know, yes, Robert, you probably have thoughts and feelings, but
and prayers.
Considering that, and prayers, thoughts and prayers,
yes,
for our boy Yusuke.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Praying hands.
But maybe the whole, because the passion argument, like, reminds me of, you know, she does hang around with much older men, and she herself considers herself to be like super mature and old fashioned. And that sounds like something I've heard, like, you know, kids these days, you know, passion just fizzles out. You want something that's gonna last. You want something, when they bring that up later, that you can see yourself marrying versus something that you can see yourself, you know, like dating and having a passionate affair with. So that's kind of why I'm a little bit more on the positive side here than you might be in terms of like how this might turn out, or like how genuine Haruka is being.
And also, yeah, I'm bringing a little bit of my personal experience to this as well too, because throughout my lifetime, I've always been referred to as that guy that's like the marrying type. Like, I've never, like, that's just every relationship I've ever been in, like every serious one, is always approached that conversation. And so I kind of identify with that as well too. And it's like, just because you think I'm the type of guy to marry, doesn't mean I want to marry you. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
My take here, I think, is between Daly and Jax in that I don't necessarily think it's a full green light the way Daly does, but I also don't think it's a full red light like Jack, because so
yellow.
It's a yellow. And the reason I say that is because
caution.
I don't think Haruka has completely written off Yusuke in terms of he's dateable, you know? But she does continuously say stuff like, I would love to be with someone like you. Not you, but someone like you.
Like,
which
like.
Comes
but
off
but
as
I'm,
like,
but I'm like me.
Exactly. Wait, that's me. I'm like me. You know, and that's it's such an obvious thing. So when you say I like someone like you, it's, you know, you're comparing the guy you're talking to this hypothetical other guy that you would totally date, you know, and that it, to me, it signals a yellow flag in terms of she likes some things about Yusuke, but he's not hot enough, or she doesn't like musicians or something, you know, like there's something there that's stopping her, but it's, she likes these other cuddly qualities about him.
It's that meme, Robert, that me versus the guy she tells me not to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. So when you say someone like, that to me is like a yellow flag in terms of if Yusuke really does want to date her, he needs to show up. He needs to be like, I am that guy like me. You know what I mean? He needs to prove it.
I am me.
I'm all of me.
As
right?
as an episode of SpongeBob once taught me, you got to be assertive.
Yep.
You got to be assertive. That's just it. I mean, Yusuke just has to be, you know, very upfront about what he wants, and he has to not be afraid to, like, take Haruka by the hands if he really wants it.
Mm-hmm. To me, the whole thing is the compliments coming from Haruka to friend of the show, Yusuke, were way too suspiciously thick. It was suspiciously thick lathering on of the compliments. And it just seemed unnatural. It seemed like she's setting some weird, weird attention trap.
Right. Well, hopefully we'll see more of him in this season, because he does say he's going to be in Japan for a little bit longer from here. So maybe hello. You know, the seventh house member Yusuke.
Yeah, I mean, based on this episode, there's no way it ends here. We got to see how this continues. Yeah,
exactly.
I was half expecting Yusuke to say that, like, he's gonna take Kenny's place in the house.
Kenny leaves. Sane has set the precedent. Just because you're on it once doesn't mean you can't be on Terra's house again.
True.
Yeah.
Three-time champion.
There you go. So let's get into the home stretch of this episode, right? We go to Daikanyama. It's Kenny's spicy soul show, and he's singing a song that uses the lyrics Sex on Fire, and I'm like, wait a minute. I know that song, but that's not that song.
That's a Kings of Leon song.
Yeah, Sex I don't think it was like a cover or anything, though. I don't think. No? It was just his own.
That doesn't seem like, you know, an average phrase that, you know, anyone can put that in a lyric.
Yeah. It'd be like calling your song Sweet Child of Mine, but totally not. It's totally not.
It's not. Nope.
Oh,
you
know? No, it's different.
The sweetest children of theirs.
The sweetest children.
The sweetest children of
Delicious
mine.
Offspring.
Delicious Offspring. My favorite Bullets and Flowers song.
So I can't remember the melody of that song. I just remember the lyrics Sex on Fire. And like, I just hear it in my head like, this sex is on fire.
That's not it.
I know also it's the wrong song, but I can't remember it. I don't know.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's funny because in my brain, I'm having a similar thing, but instead of it to that song, it's to oh, whoa, whoa, Jamie's crying. But instead of Jamie's crying, sex on fire. And I'm like, that's not it either. But
the Van Halen. So basically,
going from Van Halen to Kings of Leon to Spicy Soul.
It's funny.
Or Adele.
Guns N' Roses or Adele.
I set fire to the sex.
Oh my God.
Set fire. I love how we all in this room are aware of the hit single Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon.
Yes.
Let's actually come up with the melody of the chorus?
No.
The sex is on fire.
Is that it?
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. That's it? All right.
That's it.
Maybe right. That was Kenny. Maybe we don't know.
We owe a lot of bands money now. So.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, he opens with that song, and then he dedicates that song to Risako, like Holland said earlier, which, I don't know. I mean, it seemed like an all right song, but to say I was in the middle of writing the song and then I realized it was about Risako, it's like, I mean, I don't know.
You listen to the lyrics and it's a very vague, melodramatic love song that anyone could have wrote.
I kind of think he was, he might not have said it that way if he didn't get dumped. Mm. I almost feel like it was a way of like self-protecting.
Mm.
I don't know. Just a theory.
It felt like, it felt like blackmail to me in the sense that it's like,
ooh, damn,
like,
elaborate, please.
I guess in the sense that it's like, oh, like this is the first time she's seen him on stage, right? And so he's made it, and it's like a, you know, not to say like hometown show, but, you know, like the fans are there. This isn't just people going to see like another band and then Spicy Soul happens to be there. Yeah. These are Spicy Soul fans.
He's headlining.
He's headlining. He's showing, you know, Spicy Soul Kenny, and he's making the most of that and kind of being like, hey, this is what you could have had. Mm. That's what it felt like to me, because that's like after everything that they've, you know, talked about, and then for him to do that, it's like he's got to know that's going to affect her. And, you know, it's very obvious, you know, we cut the camera to her sobbing in the crowd.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's a secret weapon. It's like Masao's curry in OND.
I mean, that's also one thing, too, that reminds me of, like, I think he took the wrong message from the rejection when he was telling the guys and they're crying in the bedroom that he got dumped. Like, he said something there that really, like, kind of was like, wait, what? That's your takeaway? He said, I guess my attraction level wasn't high enough or something like that to woo her. And like, dude, that's not what she said.
No.
This ain't it, bro. All.
But it was just like he was demonstrating he did not really understand why she said no, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he might be like mini flexing here on stage, you know, like, hey, this is what you could have had, babe. Okay. Yeah, you could have had all of this, Kenny-san. I don't know.
All of this, Kenny-san. Yeah.
I mean, those were also lyrics to that song. Yes.
At least
all of this Kenny song.
At least it seems all like a song this. He actually wrote, unlike the last song he tried to use to woo Risako, which we learned later. He didn't even write himself. Yeah. It's another song, another person's cover. But either way, it was an all right show. And Risako was in tears. She was definitely feeling emotional. She was feeling it. Whether it was blackmail or not, she was feeling it. And then we go to Meguro in this yakiniku restaurant. And, they're having dinner. It's actually all six of them having dinner. It doesn't happen very often out at a restaurant. Ooh. And this is where Kenny makes the formal announcement that I am leaving the show soon.
Mm.
Dun dun.
Yeah. And dun, then dun. The mood goes down.
Yeah.
And it starts getting real.
Oh, man.
You know, leaving is always hard. Even for the people who are pretty forgettable in Terrace House history, the leaving is always the hardest part, right? Because it gets serious, it gets heavy. And here, I didn't get that at all, because Kaori asks, what did you learn while you were here? Which, for one, sounds like a, you know, preschool teacher, right? but his response is basically, oh, I learned that when I talk to other people, they're also people who have their own wants and needs. So maybe I shouldn't march to the beat of my own drum all the time.
Yikes.
And it's like, did you really fucking get to age 32 and then learn that lesson?
I mean, he's single for a reason. And I can't remember exactly how long his previous relationships lasted. I meant to look that up before the show, but I never got the sense he was really in some big heavy relationship. It seems like I think he got dumped too last time, and I'm not trying to like beat up on the dude, but I can kind of see why, because he just doesn't really have a clue into that. And that's what Toku is bringing up as well too, you know, like, make up for Tokui's mistake on the balcony, man. Like, you know, like, do this for us and for the show and for yourself, for fuck's sake. But also keep in mind, he's like, at the same time he's saying I need to be more conscious of people's emotions and feelings, he needs Haruka to say, hey, look over there. Because Risako is like falling to pieces, like 5 feet away from him. And he's just kind of not ignoring it, but he's not acknowledging it either. And he's not really looking over there. And also at the same time, he's doing the side eye thing, like, oh, what? But also what was really funny, you have to kind of go back and look at this scene. Ruka notices that Risako's falling apart right in front of him. He just starts this blank stare off into the horizon right over her head. And he just sitting there like,
gotta acknowledge that.
Yeah, it was so awkward for Ruka. It was really funny to go back and
see. Dude, you know what that is? It was like when you go to Subway and they're toasting your sub and they're trying not to like make awkward eye contact with you. And they're not wanting to strike up conversation either. Oh, so they're just kind of looking up like 45 degrees up to the right.
Like, yeah, what do you do when your sandwich is getting toasted at Subway? Because it's weird.
No, it's just behind the scenes. What you guys, what you didn't know is if we had panned the camera just a little bit to the left, we would have seen an Avengers poster in the corner that caught his eye.
Yeah.
Right at that time.
Just, his eye.
And he was like, I need to follow that poster. It's my dreams.
If there's someone that I wish I had a superpower and I could just like see their thought bubble in real life, like I would love it for Ruka. Like, what is this man thinking right now at this moment? But back on track, Haruka says, hey, look over there. You know, like she's
points
like,
to her for that.
Yeah, I think so too. But it's like, Kenny, like also, you're just talking about how you have better at this. Case in point.
Mm-hmm. It's ironic.
And then it was like, do you want to switch seats? And he was like, no. And then, and I was just like, what? And then he kind of fixed it by being like, hey, can we talk later? Mm. But like in that moment, it was just like, where do we go from here? Poor Shohei's like, I think the tripe is ready.
I'm going to.
We want to talk about food instead.
I can't imagine Rosako ate much while she was there.
I want to ask this to you guys, to the table here, okay? Mm. Is it possible she's that choked up and broken up about this because all they ever did was eat watermelon by the pool and him sing her a song and them go to a windy beach during a typhoon? Like, that's what I'm saying. There's got to be other shit, right? Like, how can she be so engaged in this if we know everything?
I don't know.
Or people, do you disagree? Feel free to disagree.
Yeah, people are different. Like, maybe she really saw, you know, the potential there and is really having trouble letting that go, but, you know, struggling with, you know, like I said, like she feels very conflicted about the age difference, etc. Doesn't know if she's ready. But again, like we've been saying, maybe there's something else here that we didn't see, especially because there's something that happens in just a hot second here that almost suggests that they have been physical before.
Physical. And here's the thing too, is that
physical.
Oh, go ahead. I lost it.
Oh, you lost your train of thought?
Did
I distract you with the physicality? Physical,
yeah, because then I had to redo it too. But it's I lost it. It's gone.
Okay.
Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. Well, I was gonna move us on. So if you have a last thought.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a point. I'm sorry. No, I was gonna say that yeah, the whole scene at the restaurant though was strange, and I think that the reason, like, because they asked him if he wants to switch seats, and I'm just like, well, this is a whole, it's an awkward conversation. Like this whole, you know what I'm saying? Like this whole situation is just really awkward, and it's like I think a lot of people would be really like befuddled, like they would just not know what to do necessarily in this situation because you're on camera, you're in this restaurant, like this girl that you like is kind of like, I don't know, having a breakdown here. And I'm like, and it's not saying it's wrong to like comfort her or something like that, but saying like we can talk is good. But I mean, this girl is like not having a good time. You know what I'm saying? Like she's not having a great time and you know, she's not eating much either. And yeah, so I think he might have did the right thing or he did the best he could in this situation.
I picked up my thought, by the way, so we don't have to drop that. Sorry for the suspense, everybody.
You caught the mind.
That's all right.
My theory going on here is that exactly what Kenny-san feared is actually what is happening here, meaning that Risuka even said that when she listens to his music, when she listens to his song, she's very strongly drawn to it. She has an emotional engagement, and she feels that really in her heart, and that's a big part of why she's attracted to him. But I think she's frustrated with how he is IRL. Like, actually in person, like, I don't get any of that passion, any of that love, any of those emotions that I feel when I listen to your songs, which is ironic because he always says, I don't want you to fall in love with that version. I want you to fall in love with the boring me, not the exciting me. You know what I mean? And so that's what I think is happening. Just a theory again.
Yeah, it's something I think we've talked about a lot on the show, right? In that the two sides of him are so wildly different. Right. And he even says himself in this dinner that he felt at home when he was on stage. That's him. That is prime Kenny. You know, like if you were to remember him in any way, it'd probably be best to remember him as he was on stage, which maybe is a shame because he wants people to remember him as the aloof guy who looks at Haruka from below once and says that's her best angle. That's him. That's Kenny. You know what I mean? Like, it's
and remember me as this.
I mean, not her best angle, but she looks good from that angle too. But this is also, again, to just drive on the fact that Kenny made good edit. Like, they made up for me bitching about how boring his last show was. The show was a lot better. I will say his crowd, though, you know, there are hardcore fans of Spicy Soul, but they seem very muted. I don't know if it's just the genre of music or whatever. They weren't really like hype. They kind of just stand there and like tape them on their phone. I don't know. Just didn't seem like a rock show at all. If I had to critique anything.
So we cut to the panel and Yama's immediately like, when will we get a new member? And I'm like, yes, please. I'm hoping it's next episode.
At this point, I'm just like, dude, like, come on, Kenny.
Yeah.
Like, cause after the show, after the Yakuniku restaurant, like, I'm just kind of exhausted. I'm fatigued with this whole Kenny thing, man. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. This is
going to really communicate himself for all.
This is going to go down as one of the worser runs on Terrace House, I think. Kenny's arc. It's going to be one of the bottom half.
I wasn't at that point yet, Colin, because for me, it was like, cool, he's finally about to leave. We're at a good time. I'm willing to be happy about sending him off and wishing him well in the world. And then the next scene happens. And it's like 2 a.m. and they've been up drinking. Kenny's nursing some water. Risako comes in. She starts nursing some water. And she regrets turning him down in the bus. But she's also very confused with what her feelings are. It's very annoying and very immature, right? And Kenny's like, well, the stage me was, I can't, he has that choice line Jack said earlier. I can't fake my emotions on stage or anything like that. I can't fake what I do on stage. So he's like, that's the real me. That's how I feel. So please reconsider. And then he leaves to go to the playroom. And then she leaves to join him. And then he grabs her and tries to kiss her. And the thing that caught me here, this is very subtle and I could be projecting, but she was like 90% in for the kiss. And then it's almost like at the last second, she took that highway exit that said, you're on camera. And then veered left. Or I guess
it
right.
It was another example of a musician grabbing a girl on the show and forcing a kiss. This has happened before. It's not the same thing.
But it was way less awkward.
It was. I agree.
Shohei number one.
She was at least laughing and not screaming.
Playful. Yeah, so. playful. It wasn't near as creepy as it could have been.
It was like a Masaya Burns one.
Definitely not.
But more on that side, I agree.
If you're Kenny in this situation, like, and you just get denied, it's really hard, if at all, to recover from a situation like that. I mean, he just, it doesn't happen. And then he's like, okay, see you then. He's just like, okay, see you then.
No, see, I read it as that's a thing they've been doing for a while.
It was very well familiar. It seemed familiar, right?
Yes.
That wouldn't be the first kiss.
Right.
Seemed really off the cuff and very sudden.
Yeah. Especially with like the way... I just thought it was weird. It was like, oh, you're going to the playroom? Yeah, I'm going to the playroom. You're going to the playroom, right? It's like, y'all been fucking in the playroom.
Man, I mean,
y'all going to go cuddle in the playroom. That's what I read that as.
I'm not ready to write that off as a possibility.
Yeah.
I think it's true. It could.
And the thing is, I don't think we're gonna see that come to light next episode. No. I think it's just going to be Kenny leaving and like, cool, good, whatever.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know.
We're not going to get a satisfactory ending.
I don't know that maybe this is our, like, we've become super detectives of the Terrace House drama because we've seen so much of it. But maybe we're picking up on hints that don't really exist. Maybe we're projecting. Or maybe we are the smartest Terrace House viewers on the planet. Who's to say?
I don't know.
But I think
you should let us know at questions at terracehousepodcast.com.
You try.
Get our email right, first of all.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of have a feeling that there's a lot going on under the table between the two.
Guys,
right there with you.
I really hope. I hope Kenny leaves. I mean, thank you again for your time. I'm excited for Shin members to arrive. We don't have much longer to wait. So, yeah. I mean, I just don't get the rethink your. You know, I want you to reconsider your decision. Like, decide, are you going to potentially marry me in a few days? Like, don't do that to anybody. It's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of sociopathic to do that.
It's weird. It's weird.
But I think that brings this episode to a close, because right after the awkward kiss, that's when the door closes. Right. We need to get that sound effect. We probably can't. But I don't know, guys. This was, for the most part, yes, I think it's a good evolution from part one. I think it's just like cleaning up. It's just cleaning up part one to get us into part two.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's go. Part two. I have faith. It's going to be a good one.
It's starting out strong. It's starting out strong.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think getting this Rosako and Kenny arc out of the way, we'll really know what's going on. I wonder though, do you guys think that Rosako is going to leave the house?
Probably.
After this?
Probably.
If it works out, even if it doesn't work out.
Because then the kind of assumption would be that she's like still hanging around like to try again.
Mm, right.
And I don't think that would go over well. Like, I think if she doesn't make that decision, then like the internet is going to kind of make that decision for her by being like, oh, you're just like waiting around for the next dude. And that's not a good look.
I mean,
I don't know. I kind of don't see anything wrong with it myself personally. If she explores
the first time,
it just depends like how close are Kenny and her in actuality. You know, if she leaves right away,
do we really know? Yeah.
No, yeah, we don't really know. But I think, though, if she does leave right away, that kind of is indicative, maybe, that there was other shit going on, in my opinion. If she sticks around, mm-hmm. a little more casual about it, a little less pressure, then maybe not so much. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see it evolve as we go through part two. We're going to be going into it through the new year. This is really exciting, honestly. It feels perfectly festive, right? But I think that brings this episode to a close. So if you have any questions, comments, theories about Kenny and Risako bumping uglies in a room that we can't see, you can let us know at questions@terracehousepodcast.com via our email. We just want to again wish you happy warm holidays from here, from the Tadaima clan. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Kwanzaa, Yuletide, Festivus, there's like one more I can't think of.
Hanukkah,
that one. Thank you. No.
No,
there's
holidays.
Yeah, there's the pagan one. I can't remember. Saturnalia? Yeah, that one.
You think Saturnalia. I know?
Yeah, aren't you pagan?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, so go light your Yule logs and put them in the fireplace. And
yeah,
or if you don't
fire.
Have
go
a
set
fireplace.
Something on fire.
Yeah. Well,
generally, something's on fire.
Well, yeah. I mean,
holiday wise.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. So, should we say that there's a Christmas present on the way?
Oh, yeah. We've got this week, because, you know, we're releasing this on the 24th, Christmas Eve. Then we're going to give you a day off tomorrow so you can celebrate Christmas itself, if you do. And then the day after, we're going to drop a new present where we're going to kind of catch up on all of the lost tapes from part one. It's something we totally meant to do before, but also we had some other cool projects you might have noticed come up in our feed. So,
yeah, I think Yusuke was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. Keep an eye on that on Thursday. We've got our Lost Tapes extravaganza, the Another Terrace clips. We're going to go through all those. It'll be fun.
Howdy, I think it's going to get rowdy up on that one. Just a hunch.
Boy, howdy, I think it's going to get rowdy.
I need that on a soundboard.
There we go.
Boy, howdy, it's about to get rowdy. But I think this next episode's going to be a wild one, y'all.
Same. Merry Christmas, everybody. We love you.
So Thursday, Lost Tapes. Next Tuesday, episode 14 of part two. Just a Moment, Please, is the name of it. I'm not asking for a moment.
Choto
a minute.
Choto a mate.
Yeah, it's a weird name, so I'm very curious to see what'll happen. But
Daily is not approving of that.
This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.